Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, February the 6th. And today we're going to remember President Reagan, who was born on this day in 1911. He was born in Tampico, Illinois. Not exactly sure where that is in Illinois. I was trying to look it up and try to find it on the map, and I think it's on the upper part of the state, but I'm not exactly sure. I'm going to have to research it, as they say. But we'll look back at his career, and I'll share some thoughts about the amazing career of this young man from Tampico who went on to become the 40th president of the United States. I do want to talk about a couple of other topics before we get to Ronald Reagan. The first one is the Olympics in China. Now, the Olympics are going on in China. There's a lot of opposition to the Olympics in China, and I can understand why. I have a couple of problems with China hosting the Olympics, but I should say up front, I have nothing against the Olympics themselves, certainly nothing against the athletes, and nothing against the people of China. The athletes work very hard, and I respect that. The people of China have a bad system, and I understand that. And the Olympics are events that we do every 4 years. I'm not a huge fan of the summer or the winter Olympics, but I do like to watch the introduction, kind of see countries coming in. And I like to watch the ending, and I do like to watch hockey in the winter Olympics. And some of the individual performances are just absolutely incredible. So I like to watch a little bit of that, but I'm not tuned to the TV for the whole 2 weeks or whatever, be it summer or be it winter. My favorite winter Olympic event, without question, was the 1980 USA hockey team when they won the gold medal. That was, I think, the highlight of my viewing, the Olympics summer or winter. But anyway, this year, the problem with China, there's two problems with China. You've got these horrible human rights violations, whether it's in Hong Kong, whether it's the way they're treating some of the minorities within the country. You know, the idea that they're using slave labor to produce a lot of the cheap products that they make, that bothers me. It bothers me that a lot of Western companies are willing to go along with that, that there aren't any more Western companies that say, no, we're not going to do business with you if this is how you're going to treat people. So it bothers me that we take this posture, for example, against South Africa, but we don't take it against China. So that bothers me, the way they treat people, the way they violate human rights across the board. The other thing that bothers me is the way that China handled the virus. I mean, look, you know, this was a virus that they didn't tell the world about. They were not transparent at all in how they dealt with this virus. And as a consequence, I think the world got hit a lot harder by the virus because they waited so long. Had we known about this virus, or had we known what was happening in China in October, November of 2019, I think that, I'm not saying the virus would have been prevented, but definitely, we would have had better control. We would have been better prepared to deal with it. So that's my problem. Again, it's not against the Olympics, not against the people, not against the athletes. It's against the government of China and the way they dealt with COVID and the way they dealt with the human rights in their country. Now, the other story that I want to talk on, and I have a post coming out Monday morning about this, President Biden went to New York to talk to the new mayor of New York, Eric Adams, about the crime in New York. The crime in New York is out of control. The crime in many of these cities is out of control. And what does President Biden do? He gives a speech about support, and then we start talking about gun control again. They don't have a gun control problem in New York. What they have is a criminal control problem, whether it's New York, whether it's Philadelphia, LA, San Francisco, Chicago, you name it, Baltimore, you name it. These cities have a criminal control problem. And what's happened is they've allowed a great deal of lawlessness to happen. You know, you've got district attorneys who are not processing crime. You've got district attorneys who are saying, if you commit a crime under $750, we're not going to prosecute you. Well, what do you think happens? They're looting stores, as we see in these videos. What do you think happens when you stab the police in the back? Well, you're having a hard time recruiting police officers. Many of these cities are losing police, and they're having a very hard time recruiting the police officers. Now, I thought about a week or so ago that that speech by that young widow in New York, the widow of the young police officer who was killed, I thought that speech was fabulous. And she sent a message to the political class saying, hey, you got to change. But given that speech by President Biden and the focus on gun control, I'm not sure they are going to change. So let's hope they do, because as I said before, these cities do not have a gun control problem. You can always do better with guns. I'm not completely discounting the idea that guns are a problem. Of course they're a problem in the hands of the wrong people. But that's not the problem. You know, when Giuliani was the mayor, when Bloomberg was the mayor, they were able to deal with the crime problem much more effectively than they're doing now. But then de Blasio came in, and frankly, he set the world, you know, he set the city back many, many years. So what the new mayor has to do is go back and check out what Mayor Giuliani did. That was followed by Mayor Bloomberg. So check out what those two men did for roughly, you know, almost 20 years. Check out what they did. And I think you'll see the template for how to battle the crime situation in New York. The answer is right there, if they're willing to look back at what worked in the past. We're going to take a break, and we'll talk about President Reagan right after this. Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Let's talk a little bit about President Reagan. He was born on this day in 1911 in a town called Tampico, Illinois. He was born to a middle-class family. I think his father was a salesman. His mother was a very devout Christian lady. And Ronald Reagan, as a young man, had a great fascination with radio. He became a radio announcer. In fact, not only that, but he became a baseball announcer. He used to do games on the radio for the Cubs, of all teams, up in that part of the country. Then, I guess in the 1930s, when he was in his late 20s, he went to Hollywood. Now, Ronald Reagan was obviously a very good-looking guy, and he went to Hollywood, and he got some parts, made some movies, and that was the beginning of the movie career. I don't know how many movies he made. Most of them were not that well-known. But that was a time in Hollywood when they used to make a lot of movies, because normally when you went to the movies, you got to see two movies. There was the B movie and then the top movie. So you got to see the first movie and the second movie, sort of like a doubleheader. And he made a lot of B movies. Most of the movies that he made were the B movies, as they used to be called. He was not very well known, but he probably made a pretty good amount of money because he made a bunch of movies. And his first wife, I forgot her name right now, but his first wife was also an actress, and they made a bunch of movies together. They were a very good-looking young couple of Hollywood. But Reagan's career sort of started fading in the late 40s, early 50s as he got older, and Hollywood obviously was looking for the younger generation. So after the movies, he went into politics. And he first got involved with the Actors Union and eventually became the president of the Actors Union, did a lot of work in that particular area, got to know a lot of people, obviously, in politics. Then after that, he got what I think was probably the turning point in his career. He became the face of a program on Sunday night that used to be called the General Electric Showcase. and they would feature some play or something. And that, you know, seeing Ronald Reagan every Sunday night introducing the show and talking about the show and then doing the commercials, Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan would actually do the commercials many times. You know, they would go into their kitchen and Nancy would tell you how to use the toaster or the new light or the new oven, all of the GE products for the home. And the Reagans became sort of, you know, the faces that everybody saw on Sunday nights. After that, he went into politics more directly, gave a great speech for Barry Goldwater in 1964. Goldwater went down that year in the election, but that was the year that Ronald Reagan became really, or took his first step toward politics. Eventually, he was elected governor of California twice. In 1976, he ran for the Republican nomination, but he lost to the incumbent, President Ford. But that really pretty much set the table for 1980 when he was elected president, the 40th president of the United States, when he defeated Jimmy Carter. He was reelected in 1984 in huge numbers. In fact, his two elections are considered to be two of the biggest landslides of American history, 1980 and 1984. Just an unbelievable performance in both cases. You know, as president of the United States, I think we remember Reagan for his humor, for his ability to communicate, for the way he handled adversity, let's say when he was shot, just the overall way that he conducted the country. He was always a very positive man. He would always speak to the nation. I think every time Reagan spoke, people felt better. There was just something about his personality. Every time he spoke, people felt better about the country. They felt better about him. You know, he was just one of these guys who became extremely popular. And when he left the presidency in 1988, and then George Bush became president, he was a very popular president. He continued to be extremely popular as a former president. Every once in a while, he would make a speech. But obviously, once he came down with, you know, his problem, you know, he was no longer in the public view and passed away in 2004. You know, when he passed away in 2004, everybody knew that he was dying. So it was not a shock. He had been ill for quite some time. But nevertheless, I think the country was really moved by his life. I still remember the funeral. I remember the funeral quite well. I remember the reaction of people all over the country, you know, people lining up the streets to see President Reagan. And I just think that there was a great deal of affection for President Reagan among the American people. I think there was a sense of, hey, you know, this guy, he's a real American. He's very patriotic and he loves the country. And I think that's the kind of president that I think Americans like. He was very successful. The collapse of communism began on his watch. Great economy that we had on his watch. Just overall a very successful presidency. And that's how he is remembered. I still think that the Reagan presidency and the Franklin Roosevelt presidencies, those two will be seen by historians as the two political turning points of the 20th century. I really believe those were the two most important presidencies, the two most consequential presidencies, and the two that sort of moved the country in one direction or another. And you know, obviously FDR toward the Democrat Party and later Reagan to a more conservative Republican Party. So we remember Ronald Reagan. Ronald Wilson Reagan, born on this day in 1911 and passed away in 2004. What a life. What an amazing life. Who would have believed that this young man born in Tampico, Illinois, a radio announcer, would go on to become president of the United States? I guess only in America that happens. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.